know, sometimes in life, man, you just need a do-over. If you ever just needed a do-over, or just, you know, a mulligan, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. Like you're playing a video game back in the day, and the game starts to cheating, and you just cut that thing off just because you know it's not gonna go well for you. You know what I mean? And it's, you had the thing beat, and then of course the computer cheats, and that's just what it is because that's what it's designed to do. And you just like, man, screw this, man. I'm about to start over. Like, that's basically what we're doing this evening. It's the preseason podcast of the year. And we're back on what is now, it was late Saturday night, now early Sunday morning, July the 26th now. Sunday, July 26th, early morning. Jay Hicks, the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Thank you all for listening. So a couple things, some housekeeping stuff we want to get to before we bring on our guest this evening and get into our topic of the night. So first of all, yesterday, or technically the 24th, I guess, was my parents' wedding anniversary. 39 years, y'all. So I want to send a happy shout out, happy anniversary shout out to my folks, and tell them I love them. And you guys are a role model for me and my marriage. Albeit we're just getting out of the starting blocks, but we haven't stumbled just yet, and we have you guys there as role models for us. So, you know, who says black folks can't get married and stay married? You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty cool. So shout out to my mom and dad. And then just kind of briefly getting into the situation that transpired with the podcast. So yesterday, a friend of mine, personal friend of mine, good friend of mine, great brother actually, by the name of Terry Palmer, opened his home and joined us on the podcast for the first time in his life. He was on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. However, due to some technical difficulties again, for the second time in three podcasts, my system has failed me and my computer has failed me and prevented me from delivering the podcast that I initially intended to. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry. But I'm especially sorry to Terry because I really wanted his insight on the podcast this time around. And we'll definitely have him on in the future. And I'm going to allude to some of the points that he brought up last night in our discussion tonight. But I just wanted to thank Terry again just for being a real champ about the situation. And, you know, he understood that things were going south last night. But it seemed like I had it under control. And then today I went to edit it, and then it just did not go well at all. So I apologize, Terry. I didn't mean to waste your time, man. I have to buy you some IBC root beer or something like that to make it up to you. Even though I only mentioned Tom Brady once last night. That's an inside joke. Nonetheless, I'm gonna hook you up with something, man, just for your time, because I didn't mean to have you out here just rambling on about our topic, and then the people don't even get to hear it. So apologies to Terry for that. Again, the website is hiphopsportsreport.com. Jay Hicks is myself constantly writing new material. We just got the Tale of the Tape for Wale out on the website. We're gonna have some other Tales of the Tape coming very shortly. Anthony Houston obviously doing his thing with the Orange and Blueprint podcast. For all you Knickerbocker heads out there, go listen to that podcast ASAP, because he is pretty much unfiltered when it comes to his opinions about the New York Knicks. So please go ahead and check that out, and check out everything else that we're doing on the site. You can find us on twitter.com/HHS Report, facebook.com/HHS Report. We're also on Google Plus, and the podcast can be found on iTunes. If you just do a search for Hip Hop Sports Report, we'll come right up. The little logo with the basketball, with the headphones, red and white deal, you know what it is. Find us, like us, rate us, comment, all that stuff, and tell somebody you know, and tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody. You know what I'm saying? Because we're trying to build this thing up, and we can't do it without you guys. The podcast is also available on Stitcher Radio, so go check us out there as well. Tonight's guest, pinch hitting for Terry Palmer, is a longtime friend of the show, author Kenneth Hicks, author of Natural Life, available right now at obeliskmediagroup.com and on amazon.com, and it's also available for the Kindle. Fantastic book. We had him on here back in May talking about the book and everything. Kenneth has also been writing on the website hiphopsportsreport.com, so we're very happy to have him back here, riding in on his white horse to save the day to talk about hip hop tonight, because we're going all in on rap music tonight, because it's been a while since we've done that. But Kenny, thank you for joining us, and thanks for coming in, you know what I'm saying, and saving the day and closing the show for us after we had some difficulties with our equipment. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. Just here in California, just kind of enjoying the summer night here. And like I said, it was an unfortunate situation here, and I understand technical difficulties kind of arose. But Terry's Loss is my game, so I'm happy to be here. I'll take the limelight when I can get it. But again, shout out to Terry, man, and I appreciate your support and continued support of the show here. I'm looking forward to having him back on and hearing him back on the show.
Yeah, Terry will be on in no time for sure. And like I said, he's a unique cat, man. His perspective is different, and he and I don't always agree on everything. But he can articulate a point, and he can argue it well. And that's what I love about him, is that, you know, he thinks outside the box, and he can make his point and argue it very well. And, you know, he gets you thinking, man. He gets the wheels turning. So he'll definitely be back on in the near future to talk either sports or hip hop. Doesn't really matter. He'll be in the fold for sure. So tonight's topic of discussion is all about rap music, y'all. And it was the topic of discussion last night, but you already know what happened with that. But sensitivity in the world of rap music, that's kind of what I wanted to get at and kind of, you know, get the conversation going regarding, because we've seen a lot of stuff happen, y'all, over the course of the last few weeks. Actually, the course of the last week, really, like the last 7 days have been just magnificent if you're on Twitter. It's been fantastic. And it's just, the lovers of hilarity have known no bounds in the world of hip hop. As it relates to all these little beefs and little tiffs and stuff going back and forth, there's one that kind of seems to be overshadowing the rest. So I think we'll start with that first, and then maybe I'll break down, or not even break down, but just kind of touch on the other ones, because they were a little bit more minor, although one of them may have included an attempted murder plot, so maybe they're all not so minor. But we're going to stick right now, for the time being anyways, with Drake v. Meek Mill. That is the heavyweight championship bout of the day. For those of you who don't know, Drake and Meek Mill have collaborated in the past, as recently as last month when Meek Mill dropped his second album, Dreams Worth More Than Money, and they had a song in there together called Rico, and that song was decent. I mean, it wasn't like flames, you know what I'm saying, but it was straight. It was a nice record. And since then, their relationship has gone south, and basically Meek Mill got wind that Drake was not writing his own lyrics, and Drake has not yet, I mean, I think it's pretty suffice it to say, Drake is, you know, denying this claim, but Meek Mill has gone on the offensive, went on Twitter, said, "Stop comparing me to this dude, y'all, because this dude don't write his own raps, and I have no interest in being compared to anybody that doesn't write their own raps." The only reason he made it on the album, my last album, was because I didn't know that he didn't write that, and he kind of went on from there, and just whoosh, like the whole Twitter sphere just went up in smoke that night. I think that was late Wednesday night that Meek Mill kind of set that off. Now, basically Drake responded by saying that he went on Instagram and had a conversation with Hitman Holla, of all people, the battle rapper, and said, you know, I signed up for greatness. This comes with it. That was basically his rebuttal at the time. And then Meek kind of, you know, apologized to Nicki Minaj on stage at a concert, because for those of you who don't know, Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj are romantically involved, and they're what I consider to be like the weirdest couple I've seen, like, in hip hop, or what I mean, just to me. And it's not, you know, that sounds harsher than what it really means, but just from the standpoint of, I just wouldn't have paired those two people together. Like, I would not have seen them winding up with each other and being happy. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not a matchmaker. I just didn't see that coming, you know? And so Drake and Nicki have their own history with being with Young Money and everything like that. We know that Drake's been lusting after Nicki on records for years, and there's been speculation of whether or not they ever had any type of romantic involvement. Nothing was ever confirmed. Some people believe that this issue between Drake and Meek Mill is actually over Nicki and not over lyrics or anything else. Some people believe that there's other reasons that have kind of sparked this controversy. Meek Mill did apologize to Nicki specifically on stage, not to Drake, although he did give kind of a half-assed shout out to Drizzy in that same set on stage. And Drake responded today, actually. This is probably the only benefit, aside from having you, Kenneth, join the podcast. Drake, with this re-recording the podcast, we now know that Drake has released a song called Charged Up, where he's going back at Meek Mill, and we're going to play that coming up shortly. But what are your thoughts on all this, man? I don't know where this is all stemming from. Like the sensitive nature of Drake that we all know about. We all know that he's a sensitive cat. And then right at the top of the record, Charged Up, he's calling out Meek Mill for his sensitivity, which is something that I referenced last night on our Phantom podcast that doesn't exist. That was kind of something that I mentioned, was that like Meek seems to be the one that's a little insecure, right? Like, he seems to be the sensitive one if he's calling out Drake, and he's basically snitching on him too. Where do you shake out on all that?
You know, I think that in this case, it's really interesting for me as a fan of just hip hop in general, and as a fan of both these artists, you know, because I like both of them, and you know, I'm actually kind of proud to say that these are both artists who I kind of feel like I kind of got in on the ground floor, so to speak, with early. So I kind of watched them kind of essentially grow up from like being people that, you know, were kind of just, you know, blips on the internet to actually legitimate stars. And you know, and along the road, I've enjoyed a lot of both of their music. So I don't really have a horse in this race exactly. You know, I really like both of them. You know, but this, the way that this whole thing has come about is really bizarre and really odd. You know, let Meek Mill tell it. You know, initially, a portion of this came from the fact that he claims that he didn't get acknowledged for his album release by Drake on Twitter. Which was very similar to what he did when he had his tantrum on Wale. I believe that was like last year, I believe. Or no, it was before he got locked up.
That's mad corny, though. That's mad corny, though.
Very. Yeah, no, it was corny the first time, and it's corny this time, too. You know, so in that sense, so if that is the actual crux of the issue here, and if that's why he's upset, then all this is really unnecessary. You know, but, you know, even with that said, the question now needs to be asked is like, okay, well, if Drake is putting out all this music, and if he's not, if the reference tracks are essentially the entire track and he's not really contributing anything of himself to the song, you know, it's like, how much credit can we really give him for his success and his acumen? And, you know, he brags about coming up with new flows all the time. Well, apparently these flows are coming from other places. So, you know, I don't know how much of this I can really credit him for. I feel like this is really going to be maybe not so much in the music world or in the rap world, but in the hip-hop world, this is probably going to be an asterisk on his career that may follow him for quite some time.
I mean, I could certainly see that being the case. Now, one thing that Terry and I discussed, I asked Terry point blank, and I'm going to ask you the same question. If it is confirmed that Drake has been fabricating himself as a lyricist, and in actuality, he's not writing his own rhymes, and specifically the songs that I believe you were telling us last night that Funkmaster Flex indicated that Drake did not write Rico, Drake did not write his verse on Blessings, Drake did not write 10 Bands or Know Yourself off of his mixtape that he dropped back in February. If you're reading this, it's too late. If it's in fact confirmed that Drake did not write any of those records or had very little to do with their creation from a lyrical standpoint, do you knock him for that?
Yes. And I'll explain why. You know, I remember a couple years ago, there was an instance where a writer by the name of Dream Hampton kind of leaked something on Twitter, I believe, stating that she had a reference track for a Nas song that was written by Jay Electronica. And, you know, they were trying to say that, I believe this was off of, I don't think this was off of Life is Good. I mean, it may have been the album prior to that. But nonetheless, you know, he had this song that I believe it was the intro to the album.
At was the time, Queens Get the Money?
The idea was that it was Queens Get the Money. And so that being said, you know, there was no reference track that ever surfaced, so there is no actual proof substantiating that anybody other than Nas wrote that song. Even the people that she accused of writing the song, who I believe was M1 of Dead Prez, he came out and stated that this was indeed Nas' song, and that, you know, J Electronica nor M1 or anybody else wrote the song for him. So that being said, when that happened, it was like, okay, well, this is, it was an issue, but it wasn't a big issue. It wasn't like, we weren't saying it was an entire CD and that it was even the entire song. It was just saying that there were substantial parts of that song that may not have come from Nas. In this instance, though, we have, you know, what it looks like, you know, it seems like entire songs, you know. And one of the things that I found particularly poignant about this was, you know, one of the songs is the song Know Yourself, which, you know, again, Drake is championed as being such an introspective and personal writer. And on this particular song, you know, this is the, you know, this is the running through my six with my woes, you know, and all that good stuff. You know, so that's supposed to be telling his life, you know. And according to Funkmaster Flex, this was written by a dude in Atlanta. So, again, you know, and this is also the same song, I'll remind you, where he said, I hope the real live forever, man. I hope the fakes get exposed because I'm running through the six with my woes. You know, I find that rather ironic if he did not indeed write that song. All that being said, I do think that it will, I would knock him if all this does surface to be true.
I find it weird that Know Yourself is considered to be one of the songs that he allegedly did not write. Now, that's one of my favorite songs off that project, but that's also like one of the least lyrical songs on there. Like, he's not really saying anything on that song for the most part. Like, but I think it was 6 p.m. in New York, I think, was the last track on the project where he's going at Tyga, and he's actually spitting. It's rapper Drake, as I referred to him on the tail of the tape. Like, that's not singing Drake, that's rapper Drake. And rapper Drake just bodied that track. And so if he's not writing Know Yourself, but he's writing 6 p.m. in New York, then, I mean, should it really matter? And to that point, Terry Palmer on last night's podcast said that he, when I asked him that question, he said it did not matter, and Drake's standing did not change because he personally did not include Drake in the class with a J. Cole, a Kendrick, a Lupe at that time anyway. Like, regardless of whether or not this is true, he didn't put Drake in that class anyways because he looks at Drake more as a singer. Actually, he said he looked at J. Cole as more of a singer type cat too, but he looks at these guys as not really rugged rappers, you know what I'm saying? He looks at them as singers and guys that make these like emotional records, and they're not classic traditional gangster rap, and so therefore he didn't even include them in that class. And mind you, Terry is in his 30s, and so he's as we both are too, but it's just that, you know, we're of a little bit of a different generation on this, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we're, you know, we come from a school or a generation where this stuff mattered. I've talked about Rick Ross on Hip Hop Sports Report for years about how fraudulent he is and should it matter. And people have basically said, no, it doesn't really matter. And the irony is that Meek Mill is on Ross's label. And Ross is the biggest fraud in the game. Now, I'm not saying Ross isn't talented, of course. He is talented. But this is what Terry's point was. Drake is the one that's bringing those lyrics to life, and Drake is the one that, even if this is true, he's the one that's taking these songs, giving them life, making them memorable records. And Rick Ross is pretty much the biggest fraud in the game, right? More or less. And I mean, he stole another person's entire identity, basically, right? And yet nobody cares. Like, it doesn't matter to consumers these days. So I'm thinking maybe this is just, the sensitivity issue seems to be a little bit on both sides to me. Like, I think Drake is obviously a sensitive cat. I think Meek Mill is in his feelings a little more than he would care to admit, right? That's what it seems like to me. But I don't know that it matters anymore. Like, sensitivity seems to be allowed, like, openly allowed. And I don't know that it matters that if he's not writing his own lyrics, man. Like, I think people are still going to cop views from the six like gangbusters, you know what I mean? Like, they're not gonna not buy his record, even if it comes out that he's a total fraud and he's not writing this stuff. You know what I mean? And then the other point is that statistically, he's outclassed Meek Mill throughout the course of their careers. They're the same age. Meek came in the game a little bit after Drake and blew up a little bit after Drake did. But they're the same age. And yet Drake came from this background where he was an actor on a kid's show. And yet kind of had to humble himself, go back, and literally, no pun intended, start from the bottom, climb his way back up into an entirely different industry. And he did it being himself, I think, which is, you know, through singing and making songs for women and crying over strippers and all this other type of stuff. So I just feel like at the end of the day, it's not really going to matter one way or another. I mean, do you feel like it? So you said it matters to you personally, but is it going to matter in the grand scheme of things? And one other point I wanted to mention, too, and let you respond to that, Kenneth, was privately in a conversation that you and I had, you said that you don't believe Drake really wants it with Meek Mill. So I want you to expand on that.
Okay, well, I'll say this. First and foremost, as far as the this upcoming album is concerned, View from the Six, I think that the album is still going to do very well. I think that he is the type of person and the type of musician who, you know, with his core audience being the demographic that it is, it's not your traditional rugged rap, hip-hop audience. You know, I've been to Drake shows before. I've been to shows when he was on the come up. I've been to shows when he was selling out arenas. And both times, he was still, you know, his audience was still mostly women. It was mostly younger people. So, you know, the older people who are in hip-hop, of the community, who would, you know, be upset where somebody is, you know, rapping off of their BlackBerry, you know, freestyling off of their BlackBerry, or, you know, getting ghostwriters to, you know, write songs for them and all these other things. You know, those people are kind of falling to the back now. And the younger generation, they're more just like, hey, can you make me a song I can dance to, or a song to, you know, get these girls on the dance floor, or, you know, something I can ride to in my car. And if you can give me that, then I can forgive all your other sins, so to speak, and I can just, and we can just go from there. And even with that being said, you know, will I knock him for it? Yes. Will that stop me from getting his album when it comes out? Absolutely not. I'll definitely get it. Like I said, I've gotten all of his albums up to date. I still enjoy his music, and I think I would enjoy this one too. I remember a long time ago, I heard a comparison once where they called him the Lionel Richie of hip hop. And, I believe that to a degree. But I do know that Lionel Richie writes his own song, so I don't know if that even counts anymore. I'm looking forward to the album. You know, he's clearly got some new material to talk about now. And, you know, even between now and then, I'm just hoping he drops some fire, man. Because, again, I just want good music from all sources.
But you said that he doesn't want to see Meek, though.
Well, now that's something else, is that, you know, as you touched on earlier here, he did release a song earlier today on his OVO Sound radio show, and charged up the song. You know, it's very kind of low key, low tempo, and, you know, he's doing the little subliminal dissing thing, and that's cool. I get it. You know, we all know who you're talking about, but at the same time, though, it just, you know, there comes off with no, you know, he doesn't really directly address the issue of people writing his stuff for him. And he doesn't really say anything with any kind of, not necessarily with aggression as far as volume or anything, but there's nothing on that song that makes me sound like, hey, this guy needs to back up for me. It just sounds like a, hey, you know, I'm here and I hear you kind of track. But, you know, there's nothing, you know, to call it a diss track is kind of, you know, it's not even almost fair to diss track. And it just, you know, to me, it just doesn't seem like he really wants that with Meek Mill right now. It doesn't seem like he wants those problems. What I mentioned earlier was that, you know, Meek is hungry, and, you know, he's been hungry for quite some time, you know, and, you know, those who remember, you know, it wasn't just maybe a couple years ago here, he was going at Cassidy, and he was bigger than Cassidy then, you know, and Cassidy can really rap, you know, so there was really a lot more for him to lose in battling Cassidy than there ever would have been for him to gain rapping against Cassidy, you know, but now he's going against Drake, who's the hottest guy in the game, you know, there's really, I mean, it really, you know, this is something where this is a battle where he could stand to win or lose something. Drake could definitely stand to win or lose something, I think, in defending himself in this battle. But, you know, at the same time, it just, that track to me came off as just very, you know, it seemed like almost like, I think the analogy I gave you was that, it's almost like when you have the kids in your cafeteria and, you know, the fight's about to go down and you have the one guy who really wants to fight and he knocks the other guy's books down. You know, now the other guy who's standing there, his books just got knocked down. He's got his guard up because the whole cafeteria is watching. And we're the cafeteria. So he just got his books knocked down. You know, Drake put his guard up because he has to, but it's not that he wants to. And, it, you know, and it shows in the music, I think.
Legends are born and killed in the cafeteria every day. We know this for a fact. And again, we're going to play the record here shortly. So we're gonna hear Charged Up here on a preseason podcast of the year. And you mentioned earlier about the Nas situation with Dead Press. I think it was Stickman who was allegedly the one that was ghostwriting for Nas. But here's the thing that people don't really understand. There's a difference between ghostwriting and getting help. Getting help with a line here or there, getting help with a bar here or there, getting help with a hook. Maybe somebody else writes the hook, you write the verses. You know what I'm saying? That's acceptable behavior, I feel like. That's traditional behavior. People come together. Here's the thing, man. If you go down to the store, and nobody goes to the store to buy CDs anymore, but if you were to do it, if you were to hypothetically hop in your car and go to your local record store and buy a Meek Mill CD, Dreams Worth More Than Money, and you take it home, you rip out that plastic packaging, that little impossible piece of little sticky plastic on the top that you could never get off. You finally get that off, right? And you finally get the plastic off. You open the CD up and you take out that sleeve where the credits are and you open it up. The credits for every song on there is not going to be just Meek Mill's name in it. Like, if there's going to be other guys on every song. Like, there's going to be Meek Mill's name along with like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the people on every song. Like, it's not going to be just him. So I think that that's one thing, but to have somebody completely just writing everything, like people have done for Diddy in the past, notoriously, or Dr. Dre in the past, notoriously, that is different. And Drake does a lot of beating on his chest. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of that out of Drake where he's calling himself the best. You can't be the best if you're not the one that's putting in the majority of the work. And I think that most people would agree with that. But you even said that you're still going to cop the record. So it's kind of like, what are we talking about? Like, I don't know. Let me ask you this. Do you think one guy is more sensitive than the other in this scenario? Like, do you think, I mean, because it sounds like Meek is snitching too. Like, is one of these guys more sensitive than the other, or is Drake kind of stooping down to, I mean, is a Meek stooping down to Drake's level on a sensitivity scale with this?
You want my honest answer? Can I be honest with the hip-hop podcast?
I would not want it any other way.
I think that a lot of these rap guys are weirdos. And I think that, you know, it's funny because you hear rappers say that a lot of times. And then when it shows itself, then you actually see it. But people don't really kind of accept it for what it is in that moment, I don't think, all the time. Because we get so caught up in the hype of who's saying what, who's dropping the track, and who's going to be on the radio tomorrow, that, you know, you don't look at the situation for what it's worth, you know. And if you took the landscape of hip-hop out of the situation, and if these guys were working at Foot Locker together, and these guys were going back and forth, and so-and-so said this and that, and so-and-so got on Twitter, you would probably be calling the both of them corny right now. You know, I think that I could understand Meek being, according to Meek, supposedly, he's upset because he feels like if he got a track from Drake, it should be from Drake and it should not be from Drake and friends. And I guess he feels like he got shortchanged in some kind of way, because I guess if he does a feature for Drake, hypothetically, he's going to get just, you know, straight Meek Mill writing raps and rapping on the song, you know. So I guess he feels like he got shortchanged in some way because maybe he didn't get that. I guess the irony in that is that Drake was never calling Meek for features for his album. So, you know, you can see who needed who more in this scenario. But beyond that, though, it's hard for me to really gauge which one of them is the worst in the situation. It looks like they're both doing some pretty lame stuff, if you ask me. But at the end of the day, if hopefully maybe some good music comes out of it and everybody's able to keep the peace, that's really all I care about.
I don't disagree with that last point. Good music is good. I mean, we really don't want these guys to fight. Drake's not going to fight anybody. As Terry pointed out, he got smacked by Diddy. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that Drake's not really looking for that type of problem either. Let's go ahead and get into the record. Charged Up, Drizzy Drake, Throwing Shots at Meek Millie, Hip Hop Sports Sport Podcast.
Did you hope I was crying?
I did some charity today for the kids, but I'm used to it, cause all y'all charity cases, all y'all stare in my face. I hope you could be the replacement. This is snitching on us without no interrogation. I stay silent cause we at war and I'm very patient. Six God is watching, I just hope you're prepared to face him. I'm charged up. I'm charged up. Wow, I'm honored that you think this is staged. I'm flattered, man, in fact I'm amazed. The perfect start to the summer, man, it is a doozy. The twist in the movie, but don't jump to conclusions. You boys are getting any of your feelings on me. You should embrace it, this could be one of our realest moments. Okay, the flow start to feel familiar, don't it? Must I remind you that Jimmy got 20 million on it? Need DJ Clue to drop a bomb on it. None of them wanted more than I wanted. I seen it all coming, knew they would push a button. East egg hunting, they gotta look for something. Done doing favors for people, cause it ain't like I need the money I make off a feature. I see you niggas having trouble going gold, turning into some so-and-sos that no one knows. But so it go, come live all your dreams out at OVO. We gon' make sure you get your bread and you know the ropes. I get a ring and I bring it home like I'm Corey Joe. No woman ever had me starstruck, or was able to tell me to get my bars up. I'm charged up. Oh no, we eatin', this ain't about to starve us. Nah, this ain't about to starve us. I'm charged up. I bought my niggas rollies off of Thank Me Later while these boys were stanky legging. Trust me, this information is vital. I'm trying to take the high road. I still got love for my idols. I got me a deal with Apple and I still feel entitled. Rumor has it, there's something that only I know. Rumor has it I steer the ship with my eyes closed. Rumor has it I either or never could. But rumor has it hasn't done you any good. It sounds, sounds, sound to the day I die. We going live to keep the shit alive. Cops are killing people with their arms up, and your main focus is trying to harm us. Ain't thinking about to starve us. This ain't about to starve us. Nah, I'm charged up.
So there you have it, man. I mean, like I said, very kind of mellow type track, like nothing really all that. There's not a lot of ferocity from Drake on that record, but I think he felt like he got his point across. And the internet was buzzing about it all this afternoon, so I guess we'll see. We did see Meek Mill go back on Twitter and say that it was baby lotion soft. And he said, I think we could tell that he wrote this one, though. You know what I'm saying? So Meek is pretty convinced that Drake wrote it and it was garbage. But, I mean, I think you made a good point, Kenneth, when you said this, that would be an insult to diss tracks to really call it a diss track. But, he did call him, basically, or I don't know if he called him a snitch or if he was talking about Funkmaster Flex on that one, Drake. But, there was allegations of snitching. And Drake even said, I'm tired of doing favors for people. So that's basically what it sounded like. Maybe the Rico song was a favor to Meek just to help him out. And maybe that's what it was. So I don't know. Now, speaking of Young Money and Cash Money with Drake's situation. And this Birdman Lil Wayne situation has really gotten all the way out of hand. Like, you wrote about this several months ago on the site. But now, we heard about Lil Wayne's tour bus getting shot up a couple of months ago. Recently, there's been allegations that Birdman and Young Thug were connected to that, and that there was an actual attempt to murder Lil Wayne out there. Like, that was a thing. And Baby has gone on record and denied this. Birdman said, "I have no connection with this whatsoever. I've got nothing to do with it. My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it," right? But what he is doing is he went back and he sued Tidal and Jay-Z's business for releasing the Free Weezy album for streaming on Tidal. They said, "Nah, man, we got exclusive rights to all Lil Wayne's music. You guys have no business to stream that." And now they're gonna duke it out in a court of law. You know what I mean? So that's happening between Birdman and Lil Wayne. I guess Lil Wayne is still walking around breathing, and he's still presenting awards at the BET NBA award banquet or whatever that was this week. But you know, and again, we don't want anybody getting shot. let's put that on record. We don't want anybody getting killed on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? We're not asked. No, we cannot stress that enough. So, you know, I mean, everybody thought the East-West thing was cool back in the 90s until two of the greats ended up dead. Then I was like, oh, okay, this really wasn't that cool at all. So, and again, I'm just going to quickly hit on the other stories that have been in the news of late. And I'm going to get your thoughts overall on it, Kenneth. So again, keeping with the Young Money theme, and maybe there's a theme with that. You know, we got Young Money with Drake, Young Money with Wayne, now Young Money with Nicki again. Nicki's kind of trying to stay out of the situation between Meek and Drake, but she's definitely involved in the situation with Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift is not as, she's not a rapper. She might be harder than some of these rap cats out here, though. But Nicki and Taylor kind of got it. They exchanged some barbs, no pun intended, on Twitter, where I guess Anaconda, which is Nicki's video, did not get nominated for an MTV award, and Nicki had a problem with that. And she basically, to put it plainly, she basically said, if a white artist had made that song, it would have gotten nominated. And white artists get nominated for stuff, and sisters don't. Breaking it down to the brass tacks. That's what she was saying. And Taylor Swift basically came back and said, she thought that it was a shot at her, and said, "You know what, if I win, Nicki, I'll actually bring you on stage with me," as if Nicki was some type of charity case or something like that, which is kind of hilarious. They went back and forth. They ended up apologizing and making up, so that situation appears to be squashed. And then there's the 50 Cent situation with Rick Ross. That goes back a couple of years, right? But yet Rick Ross, his baby mother was in some type of adult film doing God only knows what. 50 Cent, being the a-hole that he is, obtained this video, released it, and then he got sued, basically. And 50 filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and I guess, and of course, nobody believes that 50's broke, but I think it was just an effort to shield him in some way financially. And he's still been ordered by the courts to pay $2 million of restitution, I guess, for this situation involving Rick Ross's BM. So just given those stories, Kenneth, where do you shake out on this, man? Why? There's a lot of sensitivity, man. Like the Birdman stuff. I mean, Birdman and Wayne used to kiss each other in the mouth. Now, it's like lover scorn, you know what I'm saying? Now people's tour buses getting shot up and stuff like that. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's real in the field right now, man. I don't know. You know, as far as the Birdman and Wayne thing, you know, I think that it's just ugly, man. Nobody wants to see this, man. You know, even people who don't really actively like Wayne's music right now or whatever the case may be, you know, this was always a constant in hip hop. It was like, all right, well, it's long, you know, the rest of Cash Money might split up and other people might come and go and the Rock is going to break up and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, we knew that Birdman and Wayne were going to be together because that was his dad. That was his daddy, and that was his son, and that was it, you know? So, you know, even with beyond all the kissing in the mouth and everything else, you know, I think that people understood that there was, you know, that there is a genuine bond there between two of them. And that because of that, now when we're looking at the situation and you're seeing all this craziness spiral out of control, you know, I don't know who was shooting at the bus. I know that there was a guy who was definitely arrested for shooting at the bus, and that person, has been seen in pictures with Birdman and Young Thug. So, you know, he may or may not be a part of their entourage, but he has definitely been somebody who they felt close enough to that he has been not just seen with them, but like, you know, sitting courtside at games with them, et cetera. You know, as far as the overall situation, I just hope that they are able to resolve it amicably. I think that you're going to hear it here first. I think that ultimately Wayne is going to wind up signing to Roc Nation or some kind of subsidiary thereof, so he can be within the infrastructure of Jay-Z. I don't know.
That's been the rumor.
Or under title or what. But, you know, there was a time that supposedly that he had actually came very close to signing with Jay-Z, and that Jay-Z is his idol, and that he has lyrics from the Jay-Z song Lucky Me tattooed on his body somewhere, along with, you know, phone books and who knows what else he has tattooed on his body. But, you know, that being said, that Jay-Z is somebody who he's always looked up to and admired. And I think that, you know, just from my perspective, it seems to me that Wayne is more of an artist than he is a businessman at heart. So that being said, if he could go somewhere where he could have the business infrastructure and still be free to be the artist that he wants to be, I think that would be the best bet for him. So I think that that's going to ultimately happen. With the Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj thing, honestly, you know, to me it sounded like sour grapes. You know, I think one of the points that was made in the midst of all this was that, you know, it was almost as if Nicki felt like her spot in that discussion had to have been taken by a woman, and it was not taken by a man, when theoretically there's no set limit for how many women or how many men get, you know, are nominated. So that being said, it's not that a woman took her spot or that Taylor Swift took her spot. It's that she didn't make the cut. I'm not a big music video person in this day and age. So honestly, I can't sit back and really critique all the videos and tell you what should have made it and what shouldn't have. You know, I did see the Nicki video, imagine that, but, you know, beyond that, I'm not going to say that it was better or, you know, whether it was warranted or not, but, you know, in that respect, but it does sound like sour grapes to me though. As for the, Rick Ross and, ongoing Rick Ross and 50 Cent, I don't even know what you want to call this thing anymore.
A soap opera.
You know, they still soap opera. That's a good way. The saga that is these clowns. You know, I think that it's definitely a situation where you have two guys that really just have too much time on their hands. You know, neither one of these guys really wants to do anything to one another, but they got to stay relevant somehow. And in the meantime, in between time, you know, when you hear all the other things that are going on in their lives that aren't music related, It just sounds to me like just another thing that you just kind of throw into the hat there and say, okay, well, here's another reason to get a new 50 Cent article, Rick Ross article up on the blogs and up on the news sites. You know, so I don't put particularly a whole lot of stock in it. But, you know, I do think that it was rather funny to see 50 Cent proclaim to be bankrupt. And, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, you start posting intimate videos of people online without their authorization, these type of things happen. And I'm sure he was aware of that. And I'm sure he'll find a way to scrape together the pennies to make the situation go away.
Why is Birdman so corny, man? Like, I'm just sitting back thinking about the Birdman situation. Like, I can't get over that. I don't know if they're involved in a plot to kill Wayne or not, but if they are, that's horrible. That's like mad corny to the nth degree. And like, there should be no place for Birdman in hip-hop if that's true, man. Like, we just need to excommunicate him altogether. Like, as hilarious as he is, because he can't rap at all, I mean, he's just a funny dude. But it's like, if that's true, get him out. I've got no use for him, because we don't need anybody dying over this stuff. Then you have the fact that he's suing Tidal for $50 million over an artist who doesn't want to make music with y'all, man. He does not want to go into business with you anymore. Like, I can understand if they really feel like they have the legal justification to file that lawsuit because they have the documentation to back up the fact that they own that music. Sure, I mean, I guess I understand it, but it's like they should have let Lil Wayne walk a long time ago. Like, clearly you have no interest in him. You've focused all your time on Rich Gang or whoever else. Like, you have no interest in seeing Wayne succeed anymore. So let that man live. Like, stop being corny. Like, you being a cock block, basically, is what he's doing. He's cock blocking Wayne at every turn. And I just can't understand it. That's so whack to me.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I think it's corny. You know, I could see Wayne making albums till he's 100, because he seems like he's that kind of guy to me, just somebody who just loves making music. And whether everybody wants to listen to it, nobody wants to listen to it, I think he would always do that. And, you know, whether it's just about, you know, the money getting divvied up the right way or whatever, get the people in the room to make that happen and get it going so he can be free to do what he wants to do in life.
Wayne, Lord willing, will make it to 100 years of age on a steady diet of 8 tall glasses of lean per day. And he'll make it happen one way or another. And what's weird is that, like,
Ozzy Osbourne did it.
Right, basically. Wayne sued Cash Money back in January for them not releasing this stuff. If they put it out on Tidal and then Tidal gets hit with a lawsuit, I don't see how Wayne... Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like Wayne should be able to hit Cash Money with a counter lawsuit in that scenario. So I don't know, man. I'm not into the old legalese and the legality of all that stuff, but it's just a corny situation all the way around. Now, of all these beefs and internet conflict and all the stuff that we've seen surrounding hip hop of late, and all the hurt feelings and sensitivity that we've seen from these grown men who portray themselves to be as tough as anybody and make fun of people like Drake and Wale for being sensitive, but yet everybody's super sensitive all of a sudden, including the supposed tough guys like Meek Mill. The Action Bronson Ghostface situation was by far the most hilarious I've seen in a while. And I'm going to go ahead and play a couple clips for you. First, I'm going to play a clip of Action Bronson appearing on ESPN Sports Nation, because ESPN likes to trot out athletes now. Likes to trot out rappers left and right now, because they want to be like Hip Hop Sports Report. They want to trot out all these athletes, or I keep saying athletes, they want to trot out all these rappers, and they come on these programs. Action Bronson was on Sports Nation talking to Marcellus Wiley and Max Kellerman, and they asked him about him sounding an awful lot like Tony Starks, aka Ghostface Killer, who people have been making that connection for a long, long time between the two of them. I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to play a clip from Ghostface's response. You will laugh. Listen to this.
Okay, has it helped you or hurt your career when people say you sound like Ghostface? Where does that come from?
I think it's indifferent, actually, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, people compare Coke and Pepsi. People compare everything. No matter what, you're going to get a comparison to something, you know? And I'm just glad that it's one of the greats.
Real talk.
There you go.
Ghostface is my favorite.
Yeah, that's his favorite rapper right there.
Nice. That's right. I heard Action Bro. The first time I heard it, I was like, yo, Ghost got some new stuff. Yeah. And I found out it was Action Bronson, but I'll tell you the truth, I bought the record right then.
That's right. Yep. He's not rapping like this no more.
Whoa. Was that a shot at the Ghost?
No.
Oh.
Just being honest.
I like that record, man.
Let's just be real.
Man, Ghostface got to come out with a remix to Chicken Fingers. He's got to come out with
one. He needs something.
I'm going to leave that alone.
No, now, before you take it, that's
it. Hey, yo.
I've got something to tell you. See?
Let me talk to you. It's like...
Why is it every time we go out of the town to get around?
You got this little fake ass nigga.
Man, you always
Action Bronson running around sounding like me.
What I done bought for you?
But I want to tell this little fat fuck something.
How much money I make?
I gave you a grace period, nigga.
And what?
I'm supposed to destroy you a long time ago. You go on Sports Nation kicking that shit. Acting like, yo, you the nigga, and like, where I'm at? First of all, you little fat fuck, who gives you the right to even mention my name out your motherfucking mouth? Bro, you done made a mistake, boy. You done fucked up, man. You know what I mean? Because, listen, man, you can never fuck with my pen, my nigga. My sword, my blade, whatever you want to call it. I'm too nasty for you. This is why the fuck you look up to me and sound like me. When I told y'all niggas back in the Cuba Link shit, I don't want nobody sound like me on no album. You know what?
She used to say, son, the chances go right.
You hear what this nigga said?
She saying the same people that you meet growing up.
Uh-huh.
You make the same old faces.
That's right. And that's your fat, funky ass, nigga. You have to learn how to watch what you say. I guess you never been taught that. Because you're not a real nigga. I got those kind of niggas that'll do disappearing acts on motherfuckers for nothing in all states. So I'm just telling you, brother, I know the tour schedule, man. I know the tour schedule, bro. And I'm giving this to Max Kellerman, Marcellus on Sports Nation, Stephen A. Skip, Chris Broussard, Jamel Hill, Mike and them. Listen, this nigga, this fat, funky ass nigga is a fraud. Don't let me from a fucking rope and gut you like a pig, nigga, and leave you out to dry, because then you're done. Because first off, hold on, where the fuck is your Supreme Clientels, nigga? Where's your Iron Man's, nigga? Where's your Wizard of Poetry's, nigga? Where's your Bulletproof Wallets, nigga? Out of a bunch of albums I did, that's only 4 cents. Listen to me, man. Right now, I'm Papa Bear, B.
So there you go, man. To put it plainly, I gave you a grace period. I gave you a grace period, Action Bronson. That's what Ghost had to say, man. Now, as far as the whole sensitivity thing, look, man, I feel like rappers today, because rap is such a competitive field, I mean, you don't see in country music Brad Paisley making diss records about Kenny Chesney. Like, you don't see that. Like, you don't see Mick Jagger and Steven Tyler making songs about one another. Like, this is kind of a unique thing to hip-hop, and hip-hop is such a young man's game that younger people are gonna take things to heart more so than older folks, you would get the impression. And we haven't even seen hip-hop develop yet, because it's only like 40 years old. And so just now, like before, our best and brightest were dying, you know what I mean? Literally. Now, we're just at a stage where Jay-Z, Nas, Eminem, they're all in their 40s, and we're just now seeing what it's like to have elite-level talent in their 40s still making music and being relevant. And I say all that to say that we just don't know what hip-hop is going to look like, but I feel like we know that people were sensitive back then. Like, there were diss records and all this other stuff 20, 25 years ago. And I just feel like now it's getting blown up because of social media. So, Kenneth, what is your take on the Action Bronson Ghostface situation? For the record, Action Bronson did apologize on Twitter, and then I think those tweets may have gotten deleted. And then they asked Ghostface, do you forgive Action Bronson? And he said no. So what is your take on that situation? And then overall, like I said, just the sensitivity thing, man. Like, are rappers more sensitive now than they were before?
I think that as far as Action Bronson and Ghostface is concerned, you know, the thing is that one of the things that when I first time I heard Action Bronson, I felt that he sounded like Ghostface, like most people do. And, you know, but beyond that, though, I still appreciated it for what it was, because you know, the thing is that you have to think so abstract to even sound like a Ghostface or a Action Bronson that, you know, I had to respect it for what it was. And I was like, okay, Action Bronson can spit, he's dope, you know. And yeah, he does sound, you know, vocally like Ghostface. I didn't take it so much as him trying to be Ghostface or emulate or stealing from Ghostface. And then, you know, but beyond all that, you know, he seemed like he was a student of the game and a humble guy and somebody who, you know, just somebody who just really just wanted to find their own place in their own lane and have their own voice in hip hop. But he respected where he came from and, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So when he gets on the show and he says that, you know, Ghost ain't rapping like this no more and all that type of thing, you know, I really, it made me cringe just because of the fact that, you know, Ghost is one of my favorite rappers of all time. I think, you know, he's amazing. And like I said, I think Action Bronson's dope, but, you know, it's just the fact that he was, you know, just kind of jumping out the window and saying some crazy stuff just to get some likes. I don't know. You know, what I suspect is maybe that this, you know, his Mr. Wonderful album just didn't do the numbers it was supposed to do, maybe. And I guess he felt maybe to offset that, he needed to do something to kind of kickstart his career. So maybe he felt like, you know, he was going to hit the panic button and, you know, start something with Ghost.
Where's your Supreme clientele? Where's your bulletproof wallets? Where's your Iron Man?
You know, that's the thing, that, you know, when you have a catalog like that, you know, it's hard to find fault with Ghost, you know? So to say, oh, he isn't rapping like this no more, Ghost just dropped an album. So, you know, that's pretty insulting to somebody. It's not like Ghost had retired and, you know, said, I'm going to just open some stores or something somewhere. It's like, no, Ghost is rapping. He's on tour. He's hitting, he's in the booth. To sit here and say he's not rapping like this no more, that's, you know, that's pretty, you know, that I can see that getting Ghost pretty hot. And as we saw by the response video, it did. You know, he started making some pretty aggressive and blatant warnings towards Bronson, who apparently wanted no parts of that. You know,
no.
And
that guy's a chef.
He apologized promptly.
Ghost, I have not heard Ghostface's most recent work, but I have heard that it actually is dope. And it doesn't shock me that it would be. Even, you know, as long as he's been in the game, he's still a legend. I think that Action Bronson was in that moment and he kind of got caught up in the cameras, you know what I'm saying? And I think that he just, kind of like you said, like his numbers maybe wasn't so great. And he just was like, I'm on Sports Nation right now. I don't know how much, I don't get a lot of interviews like this on this stage. I'm just going to shoot my shot and see what happens. I think that was kind of his, that was as far as he thought it through. And he kind of wanted to try to backtrack it, but then it was like too late. Like at first he complimented him and then he was like, well, you know, but then, and then he kind of had to double down on it because he already said it, and he's like, oh well, he ain't rapping like this no more, he need to do something. So I think that's kind of what it was. But to what was your second point in regards to if rappers are more sensitive now than in general? I mean, I feel like Ghost had a legitimate beef, you know what I mean? Like I think that that's like a legitimate thing that he had, should have gotten mad about. These other incidents, not necessarily as much.
Well, no, I will say this, though. Now, the thing about, the interesting thing about the Ghostface situation in particular is that it was in an interview, so it wasn't like he wrote a diss song about Ghost. It was in an interview. Somebody asked him a line of questioning. He, you know, kind of just went along with it, and when they questioned him about it, he didn't back down from what he said. It's not like there was an actual song. So, you know, the question becomes, you know, are we going to criticize Ghost for not responding in a song, or should, you know, or does it not warrant a response in song because it was not, you know, the statement wasn't made in the song? You know, because basically Ghost just came out and just basically threatened the guy and said, look, if you keep talking about me like this, something bad might come your way. And you may not be able to, you know, handle what comes your way, but I know your tour schedule. So it's hard for me to say, you know, was it warranted or not? It's like, was it warranted for him to respond? Yes. Was it warranted for him to threaten somebody in that kind of way? Or to warn them in that kind of way over music? I don't know. Because, you know, again, this is his opinion. So if his opinion is that Ghost isn't rapping like this, does that really warrant somebody questioning, you know, threatening, you know, what you're going to be doing and saying, hey, I know where you're going to be at and what your tour schedule is? I don't know. As far as just overall, are people more sensitive now than before? Probably not. I think that we just have the capacity to document all of it. You know, I always wonder what would have happened if Tupac had Twitter.
Oh my God.
He would have been the greatest Twitter, you know, he would have been the greatest Twitter icon of all time, not just the greatest hip hop icon of all time. You know, but they didn't have that. So, you know, you know, that was a time frame where you had to, you know, if something goes down, you have to, there was a lag time between when a song comes, when you hear an interview in response to it, when you get a song in response to it, there was a lag time there, you know, cause it took time to get to the booth and get to the studio and mix and master and all this other stuff. So there was always that kind of process. So, you know, guys used to break their necks to get songs out, but it would be like a real hassle to do it. But so to answer all of that, I say that, you know, when you look at most of these situations are based off of Twitter. You know, they weren't, you know, these guys weren't saying this to, you know, nobody was saying this to anybody's face. Meek and Drake weren't talking and, you know, things got out of hand. You know, Taylor Swift and Nicki weren't, you know, in the same room. So when you look at all this, a lot of this is happening just because we have the capacity and the technology to document everybody's feelings at every moment on any given issue.
I was gonna say, everybody's a thug on Twitter. Like, everybody's a gangster on the internet. Like, I don't understand that. Like, why can't you just disagree with me like a human being instead of name calling me? Like, you're not proving anything. Like, that doesn't make you tougher. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if I showed up at your front door? You gonna say I'm an effing idiot to my face then? Probably not. So it's just, I don't understand why people feel the need to just be rude and that belligerent on social media all the time. Anybody that makes a threat, if you make a threat to anybody on Twitter, you're a scrub, man. Like, you're just corny as hell, basically. Like, there's just no excuse for that. Now, real quick, before we run out of time, I wanted to make sure that for the listeners who are unfamiliar, I'm going to play a clip of Ghostface Killah.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? What's up? This is Ghostface, straight from Staten Island. You know, up though. And yo, scientific, my hand kissing, robotic, listening, optimistic. You probably missed it. Watch me dolly dick and Scotty Waddy cop and tip me. Big microphone, hippie, hip and kipsy, crispy chicken bros, fuck up a stone ritzy. Chop the O, sprinkle a little snow inside of Optimo. Swing the John McEnroe, rap rock and roll, tidy bow, gun hole pro. Starsky with the gum so, hit the rum slow, parole kids, live Rapunzel, Patone stitch.
All right, and then here's a clip of Action Bronson.
Swiftly, I shift the beam of A60. A heavy smoker, so you know I brought the Blake with me. The moon's reflection off the lake hit me. You should have stayed with me. Now many Asian bitches lay with me. The face is silky like a tablecloth. My shorty gallop in the morning on the beach like a Chilean horse. Red roses drop on boxes very often. Confetti torches drinking Henny like I'm Kenny Lofton.
All right, so y'all can be the judge. I just wanted to make sure I threw a couple clips in there. Let y'all hear just how they sound. I mean, I definitely think that Bronson was at least influenced by Ghostface. Like, that can't be disputed, I don't think. But I just wanted people to make sure that they got a chance to hear that. But getting back to the discussion at hand, though, I feel like this is overblown due to social media. And I feel like these rappers are just characters, man. Like, they're just not, you know, they're human beings. Like, we don't really allow them to just be human, and human people are emotional, man. But it's like everybody likes to talk down on everybody for being emotional, but then everybody wants to turn around and get emotional and be hypersensitive to everything. It's like when Busta Rhymes got, you know, flipped out on Jay-Z when he said I ain't animated like say Busta Rhymes, and Busta thought that was a shot at him because the next line he said, but the real shit you get when you bust down my rhymes. And Busta thought that was a shot. And it was just like, I never thought that was a shot at Busta. And Busta and Jay-Z go back like 35 years. You know what I'm saying? But he still took that like in a negative way. You know, it's like, now granted, that was a long time ago. But that hypersensitivity is still there, I think, just because rap is so competitive. You know who I think is winning, though? Like, throughout all of this, with all this sensitivity that's in the air, I think one person stands alone and is benefiting from it more than anybody. You know who it is?
Diddy's usually winning, so I don't know if it's him, but I put my money on Diddy.
It's Future. Future is winning. Future, the Future Hive. Future is an unstoppable force of nature in hip hop, and I never thought I would say those words. I never thought I could fix my face to say that, because Jay-Z basically killed Auto-Tune like in 2009. Like, he pretty much, like, locked his head off in front of the masses. Like, it was like a public execution, right? And pretty much the only guy that was allowed to get away with using it anymore was Kanye. Like, T-Pain didn't even have a career anymore. You know what I'm saying? And yet, here comes Future, like, in 2012. Magic. Voila. Magic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then he makes that. He makes Tony Montana. He makes Turn Off the Lights. And like, a couple of years later, he's still relevant. And then he gets on Move That Dope record. And then he's still putting in work. And now he's coming out with Dirty Sprite 2. And everybody was going crazy when Dirty Sprite 2 dropped last week. And I heard it. I think for what Future does, I thought it was a pretty good album. I mean, I don't think it was incredible. I don't think it was like, you know, a Picasso of music or nothing like that. It wasn't Beethoven-esque, so to speak. But I mean, I thought it was good for what Future tends to do, what this type of music that he makes. But his whole fan base is going crazy with the Future Hive, hashtag Future Hive movement and everything. And that guy is winning, man. Like, while everybody else is fighting, this dude is getting money and winning. Am I wrong?
No, not in the least. Super Future is definitely winning right now. You know, what I found interesting about all this is that he's the one guy that seems like people don't even want problems with. You know, it's like Drake had a problem with him and he squashed it real quick. I think Drake had a problem with him twice and squashed it real quick, you know? And, you know, when when they interview Meek and they're like, hey, well, who are you listening to or who do you like? And he said, I don't listen to nobody but Future. You know, it's like, man, everybody's giving this dude a pass, man. And I'm not saying like he doesn't deserve it or that his music's not good, because I like it. I enjoy Dirty Sprite too. I think it's a dope album. And you know, not to say that, you know, I would, you know, that he's my first choice all the time in music, but, you know, I think that he's putting out great music right now. And I think that, it is a good album overall.
Drake was on his album. Like they had a little issue. I don't even remember what that was over. What was that over?
I think there was two different instances. I don't remember one of them, but I remember one of them had to do with, there was an interview before Future's last album, which was Honest, before that came out. And I remember when he did that interview, he said something about how his music makes people feel a certain way and how Drake's music can't do that or something to that effect. And they were about to go on tour together, and Drake got upset and dissolved the tour, and they got the lawyers involved, and it was a whole big thing, and then it was squashed like 2 days later. Then, you know, like I said, but there was like two separate instances where they kind of had, I think the other one had to do with Drake not wanting to be in the video for Tony Montana. He gave him a verse. Drake felt like he had already done this guy a solid, because, you know, he was still kind of more or less a local guy, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So he felt like he had done him a solid by giving him a verse. And, you know, I guess he thought that he owed him by being in the video. Drake felt otherwise, and that became an issue.
And now they're still making music together and getting money together, I guess.
You know, the one guy that all the guys, you know, definitely salute is Super Future. And like I said, I think he's making good music right now.
The only person who has a problem with Future is Russell Wilson. Like, Future's stock is up. Russell Wilson's stock is down. He can't get a new deal, and he's on the wrong side of a Future controversy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not rolling with Future right now, lots of luck, because Future is winning.
He had a concert, right, in L.A., I think, like, on the 23rd, I think, you know, in his campaign or whatever. What he's been doing is he's been doing, like, these, like, free concerts. Yeah, one in Atlanta, one in New York, one in Chicago, and then one here, I think. So he's doing this concert. Now, like, the venue's like a medium-sized venue. So it's like a 500-person venue or whatever. And, you know, again, the concert's free. So they said people started lining up outside the venue at 9 a.m. The concert was at midnight. This is in L.A., not in Atlanta. No, they did it in Atlanta, and they had, like, crazy lines around the block and everything for that one, too. But that's Atlanta, so I expect that. The concert got canceled because they said that it was just too out of control.
Like I said, he seems to be the main beneficiary from all of this nonsense, because he's got the hottest album in the country while everybody's fighting. When then Meek Mill's album dropped, and then when Future's album dropped, nobody was talking about Meek Mill anymore. Like, Meek Mill went away when Future came out. Like, Future had the streets on Smash immediately, and had the Twitter streets, which is probably far more influential at this point, on Smash as well. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, man, it just pays to kind of keep your head down and put in work. That pretty much gonna wrap it up for the podcast this evening, y'all. I mean, we covered a lot, and I'm a little, like I said, I'm a little saddened that Terry Palmer could not be a part of the podcast this time around, although I tried to impart as much of his wisdom as I could from our prior conversation on the same subject. And so, Terry, we'll get you on the podcast soon enough, my man. Don't you worry about that. Please hit up hiphopsportsreport.com, y'all. That is the website. Anthony Houston's doing his thing on the website and with the podcast. Kenneth, thank you for your time tonight. Any last thoughts on tonight?
Nothing. Just, again, always a pleasure to be here. You know, anytime the system goes down and you want to, you know, have me come in and step in for anybody else, I'd be happy to do that as well, too. I'll take anybody shine I can get.
No doubt, man. You're a regular David Ortiz. You know what I'm saying? Designated hitter. You know what I'm saying? It's designated Hicks in the fold. And like I said, man, these rappers, they all a little bit too sensitive, man. It's just music, y'all. It's probably publicity stunts at the end of the day. Because, I mean, why else would they be fighting over stuff this stupid? Jay Hicks, Hip Hop Sports Report, we out of here. Later.